Hello and welcome to the WC Podcats Podcast. I'm Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Frazier, coming to you live from beautiful Cullowhee for the first time in a long time.
First time in 2017, Patrick. It has been a bit of a couple crazy months here in the office as we have record numbers of applications we've been processing and things like that. But before I go out again for a while, we thought we'd get this whole podcast thing another run here before the summer starts.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Josh thinks it's, you know, he's going to just leave for a few months. I don't know why a baby is more important than the podcasts, but...
Well, you know what they say, it is. No, just no. We're excited. My wife and I are going to be having our first kid any day now, so why not get ready for the birth of the baby by doing some WC podcasts?
And if Josh magically disappears during the middle of this episode, you'll know why.
Absolutely, to welcome baby Lily into the world. So, having said that, we are back on track to bring you a lot more great episodes this semester and into the summer. So there's lots to talk about, Patrick, but first, you know, it is spring break here at Western Carolina University, so it is very quiet. Parking is great right now. Turning in and out of the office has never been easier.
Yeah, I don't know why so many people complain about parking during the school year. You know, spring break is the best time. You can park literally anywhere on campus.
Absolutely. When you take a look at the students being gone, however, that really means this week at Western, there really isn't much going on because everybody is out of town. You can't even go and eat at the courtyard because it's closed right now.
At least we have Chili's. We can go eat at Chili's.
You can eat at Chili's. You can go eat at Subway. You can go eat at Freshens is still open. So for those students who decided to brave spring break in Cullowhee, then there is some options there for them to eat on campus as well. But because there's no This Week at Western, we'll still do two segments today, and we'll start off with a little bit of some winter sports review. Specifically, we'll highlight the achievements of men's and women's basketball, and then the championship run for our men's indoor track and field team.
Yeah, so starting off, we'll start with the champions, men's indoor track and field, fourth year in a row as indoor conference champions, which is quite an achievement for the track team.
Absolutely. Even with the new coach, Cale McDaniel, taking over in the fall, his first full season with an indoor track and field team, winning the championship again. In fact, Cale was named the Southern Conference Indoor Coach of the Year. So congratulations to Coach McDaniel on his first Coach of the Year award.
Picking right up where Danny left off.
Absolutely. I was going to say he's got about 39 more of those. He's got a win, but when you're one for one, then things are looking pretty good. So congratulations to Cale and the men's indoor track and field team for a very successful run, making it 4 years in a row. Patrick, that is an entire class of students, freshman to senior year, that have won their indoor championship every single year that they've been at Western. What an achievement and legacy to leave behind.
That is, and you know, for those seniors, you know, that's four rings right there.
And that's just
indoor.
So yeah.
They even have a couple of outdoor ones mixed in there. So mm-hmm. Some great accomplishments for that senior class.
Absolutely. If there's one thing that has been consistent about Catamount Athletics over the course of the last several decades, it is that track and field is going to be successful and they're going to win championships. It's just a matter of how many in 1 year are they going to win. And we're already starting off great with the men's indoor championship. And we want to give a special shout out to freshman Corey Austin, who's one of our tour guides, who is a member of the track and field team. So congratulations to Corey, one of our entourage members, who is also a Catamount student athlete.
So, Corey, you've got some work to do. You've got three more years to go so that you can keep that streak going.
Yeah, and once he gets the ring, I expect him to wear it on all of his tours. It'll catch some folks' attention as he's doing the tours here. Patrick, moving on from track and field, it was basketball season. We are in the heart of March Madness now. Unfortunately, Western Carolina struggled a little bit this year when you take a look at men's and women's basketball. We'll start off with the Lady Cats first. And a highlight during the season, though, was the play of Sheree Bonner, who was named third-team all-conference by the coaches this past season as a postseason award. So she's one of the first Lady Catamounts to win a postseason honor in quite some time. And it is Sheree's, the first time in her career, she's a junior, that she's been named all-conference, and that'd be the third team.
Yeah, so the Lady Cats kind of had an up-and-down year, really struggled through the middle of the season. Started playing really well there near the end of the season, had some really close losses. Lost to Samford by a point, and in one game. Overall for the year, though, the Lady Cats were 8-22, 3-11 in conference. Home was the place to be, though. They were 6-7 at home and 2-12 on the road, so had a much better turnout and record in the Ramsey Center for the Lady Cats. Unfortunately, the SoCon tournament was a quick win for the Cats this year. Had the I guess you could say, the lucky or unlucky draw of taking on the number one seed in the first game.
Yeah, the Chattanooga Lady Mocs have been the class of the Southern Conference for the better part of the 2000s. They have been a very, very good program. They remain a very good program. And so the Lady Cats fought hard but could not pull out a win in the first round of the tournament there. But, you know, Coach Mack has the team already looking forward to next season. And when you have Sheree Bonner as well as a number of major contributors coming back, then you can expect the Lady Catamounts to continue to improve as Coach Mack will head into her third season here as the head coach of the Lady Catamount basketball team.
Switching over to the men's side, the men's record for the season was 9-23, 4-14 in conference, 6-8 at home, and 3-13 on the road.
So some good home cooking for both basketball squads this year.
Some good home cooking. And, of course, one of the highlight wins of the season took place in Boone when they beat Appalachian State. Always a great win to pick up.
Absolutely. We got to renew that mountain rivalry. We don't play in football for the old Mountain Jug anymore. I think maybe it should be moved to basketball or baseball or something like that.
I think baseball would be a good one for it.
Absolutely.
But first round of the Southern Conference tournament, the Catamounts took on the Citadel. And it was a close game, back and forth, all game long.
Absolutely. Patrick, I know you were there. And, you know, this is the first game that all season that the Catamounts lost after they were leading at halftime. But it really was a tight affair, and it was quite the close game and came down to the wire. Citadel's freshman, the freshman of the year in the conference, last name Parks, really stepped it up, had about 30 points in the game, and that really is what spelled Western's downfall.
Yes, I have seen few teams run the trailing three-pointer as well as the Citadel does, and Parks was right there as the trailer, hitting those threes left and right. And it was a little bit too much for the Catamounts to overcome down the stretch. It was literally a one-point, two-point ball game up until about 2 minutes to go in the game, and that's when the Citadel started to pull away a little bit, and we just couldn't close the gap. The Citadel went on to give UNC Greensboro a run in the very next round before Greensboro pulled away right at the end, kind of like the Citadel did against us.
Yeah, and ETSU ended up winning the conference championship and would be representing the SoCon in the NCAA tournament here in a couple of weeks. So we wish them well. But really, when you look at the Catamount men's basketball team this year, it started rough when we lost. Senior guard Darice Parks was a big part of the offense early in the year. He went down, potentially getting a medical red shirt. We'll have to wait and see on that. But he was the only senior on the team who was a significant contributor. There were three seniors total, and he was the only one that was playing major minutes. So you look at a team that got a lot of experience, a lot of young guys on the team got a lot of good experience. Mark Gosselin, a sophomore this year, really started to play well at the end of the year, had three straight double-doubles to end the regular season. You also will take a look at Otto Steger and Otto Sled. Both of those big guys are freshmen, and they were our starters in the Southern Conference tournament at the two forward positions. So you can look forward to potentially that growth and winning two of the last three games going into the tournament, and then a close loss to the Citadel against a really good player in Parks was the big difference. So hopefully you will see that trend of being really competitive carry over to next year, where you'll have a lot more upperclassmen contribution than you did this year.
And I know Coach Hunter is excited about the incoming class for next year, for the freshman class. So be exciting to see what Catamount basketball has to offer next season. I think it'll be an exciting year. We trusted the process this year. So,
absolutely.
Let's see what next year brings for us.
I think next year will definitely be a step back in the direction that Coach Hunter has taken the team in the past. You know, for a while there, you know, two of the last 5 years, the Catamounts have been in the Southern Conference championship game with a chance to go into the NCAA tournament. And I think that another big step forward will be next year when you have some more upperclassmen contributing than we did this year.
And maybe one of these days we'll get Coach Q in here to to talk about basketball and, you know, his run through the Final Four or mm-hmm. through the finals and into the NCAA tournament in 1996. He was a part of the lone team that made it to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. He keeps saying he's going to make it on here, but Q, this is, again, a call out to you to get on here.
Yep, he'll join us eventually. You know how Q is. So, but we look forward to having him on in the future and talking about that magical run where our Catamounts were just about the first ever 16 seed to knock off a one seed when they played Purdue in that classic game that they show every single March, because if Purdue had missed one shot or Western had hit one shot, then it would be a historic upset for the Catamounts. But alas, it is still something we still get to talk about and reminisce about every single March.
Well, I think that wraps us up for the winter sports recap. You know, it was a kind of a long winter in basketball, but mm-hmm. some highlights there on track and field. And it's going to be an exciting spring in Cullowhee with our sports. So we'll highlight those in a later episode as we go through baseball and softball, which have both already started playing this year.
Absolutely. And baseball has a couple of marquee wins already against Coastal Carolina, who is ranked number 9 in the country. And just yesterday, defeating the North Carolina State Wolfpack, the number 20 ranked team in the country. So it looks to be another very competitive baseball season for the Catamounts, hoping to go to back-to-back NCAA tournaments here in the future.
Yeah, when you can knock off the defending NCAA champions to start your season, that's always a great sign.
On banner day. So it was the Coastal's opening home game, and we knocked them off. It was a lot of fun. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the spring sports recap and review in preview as we go more into baseball and softball season. But Coach Miranda's Catamounts definitely starting the season how you want them to, with victories over ranked opponents, especially big-name schools like Coastal Carolina and North Carolina State. Having said that, Patrick, we're going to look to our feature of the week is going to be looking through the rest of March in what should be some great movies coming to the Hines University Center. So we're going to preview the three movies that will be taking place over the next 3 weeks to close out March and the first day of April. And we'll see you back after this quick break. And welcome back to the WCU Podcast. Again, I'm Josh Thompson.
And I am Patrick Frazier.
This week, Patrick, we are excited to talk about and do a preview of one of my favorite activities here on campus, and that is going to the movies at the UC Theater. It was something I really enjoyed as a student. I've continued to do now that I'm faculty and staff member. So it is one of those things when folks ask, I don't know what there is to do in Cullowhee, and, you know, what are kids doing on the weekends? Well, the slate of movies going on this month, if the students aren't going there, I'd be shocked. And it really starts off, Patrick, this coming weekend or next weekend when Star Wars Rogue One makes its way into the University Center.
Yeah, I hate that you won't be able to join me with that one.
Yep.
Since you'll probably be
Lily
out of the office.
Lily better be here by that time, I tell you.
But I have a feeling I will do all I can to go see Rogue One with a theater experience one more time. I only saw it 4, maybe 5 times in the theater the first time.
You like Star Wars just a little bit. Both of us are just casual. No, we're both very, very big into Star Wars. And I thought if any movie I was worried about, because, you know, Disney, I'm professed Disney nut, so caveat there, but I was a little worried when you start churning out Star Wars movies every year, at what point do they stop being special or feeling, you know, like an event and things like that. And while this isn't one of the episodes in the Star Wars saga, it's kind of a standalone tale, boy, did they hit it out of the park. And I think a lot of folks going into this were a little bit worried about it in terms of hardcore Star Wars fans, it not living up to the saga. But if anything, does it really enhance the time between Star Wars Episode 3 and Episode 4.
I think the one thing that this does is for those individuals that are not Star Wars fans,
mm-hmm.
it kind of ties the two series together in a way that you can finally understand them.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the true Star Wars fan understands Episode 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Most people have, for the most part, have seen.
They might not like them, but they understand them.
They might not like them, but they understand them. You know, a lot of people have seen 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
But they, you know, unless you really understood Star Wars and how it all tied together, there was always a lot of questions between 3 mm-hmm. and 4. And even, you know, when it was just 3, 4, and, or I'm sorry, when it was just 4, 5, and 6, there were still questions of, how was all this happening? How did they get all these different items? Kind of all the little backstory for that one movie was missing, and it was never cleared up in 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, because really that was the Anakin Skywalker saga turning into Darth Vader, and then he turned into Darth Vader, and then, you know, if you're gone for potentially 20, 30 years, you have no idea what's happening in this war to lead up to the Empire versus the Rebellion. And Star Wars Rogue One did a fantastic job in laying out that story. And specifically, Patrick, there were some great surprises in this movie, but some really memorable characters as well. Do you have a favorite character from Rogue One?
Oh, it had to be K2SO.
Yeah, a fantastic new droid. Disney, if there's one thing Disney really knows how to do with the Star Wars movies, it's like make awesome new droids. BB-8, K2SO, fantastic. Like the dry sense of humor K2SO has is one of the real highlights of the movie. And it's a dark movie, and so that humor sprinkled throughout by K2SO makes a huge difference in making sure it's not a super duper dark movie.
And I think one of the things that, you know, it's one of those for true fans, it's kind of hit or miss, that I really enjoyed was some of the CGI effects, not necessarily with planets or machines, but with people.
Yeah. And we'll do spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen it yet, then maybe skip forward another 5 minutes, but surprise characters being General Tarkin, shocking. The actor who played General Tarkin passed 20 years ago.
So there was a different actor playing him this time who looked similar but was not identical by any means. And then the CGI effect kind of did a face transplant over him. And they were really fortunate from some of the different things that I've watched that they had enough footage of Tarkin originally that they could CGI all of his facial movements onto this individual.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. And then at the very, you know, at the very end of the movie, you get young Princess Leia, which was another just shocking, jaw-dropping moment to me. I was not expecting.
I don't think anybody was expecting young Princess Leia at the very end.
Yeah, well, and then that really ties to the end of the movie again, being how they walk up to the movie. I thought, yo, they're going to set up episode 4. I didn't think they would directly, like, walk you all the way to the starting line where you could watch Rogue One, immediately pop in episode 4, and it feel
right
like
up.
It's one and continuous movie. But really, a fantastic job done by the Disney and Star Wars team. Another epic movie in the Star Wars, not the Star Wars saga, but a Star Wars tale.
I think the other great thing that they did with the movie is, you know, and it's one of the kind of criticisms of number 1, 2, and 3 is all the majority of the filming was done on actual locations, and it wasn't CGI'd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really has a big impact and effect. I mean, CGI is nice and all, but when you actually have the real trees and the water and the beach and all of those, you know, you can feel that experience.
It was so cool to see the battles taking place on a tropic. You've never seen tropical planets, anything like
since
that
Naboo.
In Star Wars. Yeah, since Naboo. And really, that is more, I don't know that I would classify it as tropical as much as I would say it's
kind of like
mountainous.
Lake setting.
Yeah, lake setting. But in terms of like crystal blue water, thinking Bahamas looking stuff, it was pretty wild to see stormtroopers wading through the water and things like that. But it was such a well done movie. And I think if you're even mildly interested in Star Wars, it's worth checking out again one more time in a theater experience before it comes to Blu-ray here in the next couple of weeks.
And I really liked that, you know, some of the individuals that played characters in movies 1, 2, and 3 were in it. So Jimmy Smits, you know, reprised his role as Bail Organa. And so having that connection and not having new characters was a really big piece as well. And then, of course, the lead actress, Felicity Jones,
was
just phenomenal
as Jyn Erso. Really compelling character. A lot of folks are really pleased to see Star Wars moving in a direction where it's not just all about guys and there's like one female in the entire universe, Princess Leia. So it's nice that you have seen Rey kind of come up and be a huge part of episode 7, and now Jyn Erso be a major, the key in Rogue One.
I think one of the great things with Star Wars through the years has been the diversity of the characters within it. And I'm not talking in terms of racial diversity, in terms of everyday America. I'm talking like you have all these different species mm-hmm. of diversity in the movie that are all a part of it. And, you know, the creativity that goes into creating different species and different races mm-hmm. and then tying them all into the movie, common goals and fighting alongside one another. It's just a really nice feel to a movie that you don't get in a lot of movies.
Right, yeah, it's just the world of Star Wars is so well developed, and this just adds to the lore and does nothing to harm. If anything, it makes you more excited for these standalone titles like the young Han Solo movie that is coming out, that they're filming now, that'll come out in 2019. And it should be a lot of fun to see these one-off movies in the future.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do a really great job of tying them into the main Star Wars movies as well. And the nice thing is they're doing movies that are older, mm-hmm. so that they're tying into older pieces of the movie and not having a big impact on the current saga itself.
Right, that would be really hard to manage productions that are that dependent on each other.
Yeah, it'd almost be like taking an Avengers approach, which Star Wars doesn't really need that approach
same
way that Avengers does, because you have so many different backstories and characters with Avengers.
Right.
Star Wars, we're still developing those backstories, which is kind of mm-hmm. the neat piece of it.
Yeah. And Patrick, that'll be this coming weekend. That'd be Friday at 7 and 10. And then typically...
it's actually next weekend.
Yep. Yes. So, thank you. Yeah. Next weekend.
March 18th, 7 and 10. And March 19th, 4 and 7 in the UC's theater.
Yeah. So a little bit different timeline. Usually the Saturday movies are in the evening. But you can catch a matinee next Saturday at 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And again, Friday at 7 and 10. So definitely worth checking out. I know Patrick Frazier will be there. I know Adam Ray will be there. So.
And it's $3 with your cat card, $6 for all other guests, and that includes popcorn and a drink, so you can't beat that
The
deal.
Cheapest date in town. But gentlemen, keep in mind, the ladies know it's the cheapest date in town as well.
And for all of you listeners that aren't students that want to bring your kids or family, come on out. Yeah. Everyone is welcome to the movies at the UC Theater.
And again, that $6 non-student price, it does still include the drinks and the popcorn. So it's still one of the best deals in town for family entertainment. Moving on to the following weekend, Patrick, Hidden Figures, which was a huge hit at the Academy Awards recently and had a couple of nominations there. But what a fantastic film about women, and specifically minority women, black women, and their impact on NASA. And it was just, it was so well done.
It was a really well done movie. I really liked the historical significance of the movie, and they kept everything, for the most part, historically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the way everybody looked to the way everybody kind of acted within it to the cars that were within it, you know, those timepiece movies are always difficult because it's hard to get a hold of some of that antique materials. But the way NASA looked, when you look at pictures, that's how NASA looked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a really nice kind of touch that they did of keeping everything so historically accurate.
Yeah, Patrick, I went into this movie looking forward to it. I came out of this movie feeling inspired, feeling wistful. I mean, can you imagine being alive in a time period where there was such focus on space and exploration and science and technology? It's truly mind-blowing to think of that time period, and to also frame it in the lenses of the civil rights movement. I just thought that was really well done, and it really made you appreciate how much things have changed, and then even still how much work we have left to do in civil rights moving forward here in the United States.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about the movie the most is that, you know, it was a true story about three women, and one of which is still alive.
Yes.
And, you know, gave her stamp of approval before the movie was shown in public. And so when you have someone that was there that lived it and said, yes, this is how it happened, and this is as close to accurate as you can get in a movie,
mm-hmm.
that really says a lot about a movie and holding true to everything and kind of the strides that she took and making sure that her story was told correctly.
Yeah, and it really was well done. Specifically, I'm thinking of, I think my favorite performance in the movie had to be Octavia Spencer. I thought her role as kind of the manager of the female black scientists that were not allowed to kind of interact with the female white computers, and they called them computers, number one, which is mind-blowing that the people were the computers. But her role and the way she portrayed it, I thought, was just fantastically done.
Which also got her a nomination for an Oscar as well.
Yeah, and I think it was well-earned and well-deserved.
And she's just a phenomenal actress.
She really is.
All around. And but she brought humor to the movie at times, and you know, mm-hmm. kind of like in Star Wars, where you have
a character heavy movie
that mm-hmm. is bringing a little bit of humor to kind of lighten it and keep it going. And I think, you know, they could have done a lot of things that had kind of deviated from history and, mm-hmm. and correctness, and tried to make it more drama ridden and all these different things, but they kept the story on the three women.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, that's who the story was about. Yes, it was about NASA. Yes, it was about John Glenn and kind of that first approach to a man circling the Earth for NASA, but the movie was about the women.
Yeah, and it was not just about women. It was about three minority women who were shattering stereotypes and truly doing things that no woman, specifically no minority woman, had ever done before. So it's pretty special to see that story told on film, and not just told, but really told well.
And I think if this movie had been released in any other year, it probably would have won Best Picture.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It was just up against some extreme competition in that category. Between Moonlight and La La Land, mm-hmm. But it was right there. I think it really captivated a lot of audiences, kind of like Apollo 13 did with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about space that captivates the imagination, and I think it's one of the reasons that movies like Star Wars and Star Trek exist and are so successful, is there's just something about space and kind of bringing that home to how we actually got into space mm-hmm. is really powerful.
Yeah, and just a really well-done movie. I know that Brittany and I really enjoyed it, and Brittany specifically, I think, was really moved and touched by the story of the three women. So it's definitely one of those movies that you need to see, and what better place than to check it out in the University Center.
And a couple of surprise performances in it, and kind of how well they did. You know, anything with Kevin Costner, as far as I'm concerned, he's always a phenomenal actor in a movie. But Jim Parsons did a really great job. You know, if you watch Big Bang Theory,
it's weird.
He kind of brought some of those personality traits with him into this movie.
It was weird to see Sheldon as a Southern racist. it was a strange thing.
But I think if he hadn't been playing Sheldon for so many years, he wouldn't have been able to kind of portray some of the message that he did mm-hmm. with his actions in the way that he did. And also Kirsten Dunst was mm-hmm. another one that had a phenomenal performance in the movie.
Yeah, I think really the whole cast was really well done, and you could tell that this was a passion project for a lot of the folks involved. And
Taraji Henson and Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, Taraji Henson was fantastic. You want to talk about a departure from a TV character that you're used to seeing? To go from Cookie to her character in this on Empire to her character in Hidden Figures is 100%. Different direction, and it really showed her range as an actress, and she was phenomenal in this movie.
And you know, for our own kind of on-campus connection, you know, WCU led the way in kind of breaking racial barriers
mm-hmm.
During the 50s and 60s, you know, with Henry Logan.
Mm-hmm.
First
African-American basketball player
athlete, or really athlete in a predominantly white school in the South.
Yeah.
You know, so you have someone like him, and then you watch a movie like this, so you kind of get an idea of what he's going through at mm-hmm. that time.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. It's a fascinating period of time in our country, and it's definitely worth seeing if you haven't seen it yet. It deserves all of the critical acclaim and fanfare that it's received, for sure.
And one of the neat things for me watching it, because the movie takes place in Hampton, Virginia.
Yep.
Which is kind of a NASA base area there. And I actually have an uncle that lives in Hampton, Virginia. So I've seen some of those old structures kind of sitting there and rusting, and been on to some of the bases. He used to do some of the painting for NASA wind tunnels and stuff. So he's gotten to be in some of those areas. And so they kept that the way that area looked, the way it actually looked then. And some of those structures are still there, which is kind of a testament to time and a testament to NASA as well.
Absolutely. So definitely go and check out Hidden Figures. Patrick, what are the dates and time on that one again?
That would be on March 24th at 7 p.m. and also 10 p.m. And then on Open House Day, March 25th at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. that afternoon. Again, $3 with a cat card, $6 for those without a cat card. Popcorn and drinks are included.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're coming to Open House, definitely stick around and enjoy the movies. And then, Patrick, that brings us to our last weekend in March, also the first day in April, as we take a look at Sing, which was an animated movie that came out right around the holidays this year. Was really, really, I went in with medium expectations and fell in love with this movie.
This movie, like you said, medium expectations, fall in love with it. Didn't really know what to expect going in other than it was a singing competition.
Yeah, and that's really all you knew was that it was essentially American Idol with animals. And so the story behind it in another movie where the cast is phenomenal. A lot of folks that you may be surprised were in the movie, but I thought Matthew McConaughey's Koala character, the main character in the movie, just really stole the show for me. The relationship that, you know, he had with his father and the theater and things like that really, really resonated with me. And I just really, this movie going in, I thought it'd be cute, but I really fell in love with it and I'm looking forward to, this will be one that I've heard, all three of these movies are going to be movies I own, but I'm really looking forward to watching Sing again.
Yeah, this, you know, as you said, the cast for this is phenomenal. You had Matthew McConaughey, Reese Witherspoon, Seth MacFarlane, Scarlett Johansson, John C. Reilly, Tori Kelly, Jennifer Hudson. I mean, the list goes on and on about all the different people that were a part of this movie.
And you don't necessarily think of some of those actors or actresses as being singers, but Scarlett Johansson's character, the porcupine, did a really cool number. And then Reese Witherspoon as the pig, the female pig that was in the competition, the mother pig, fantastic. I did not know that they had the singing chops that they did in this movie.
And
though, no pun intended, she played a pig.
Yeah, no pun intended there. You know, the storyline for the movie is one of those that kind of resonates with everybody. And, you know, for those that have families with kids, the kids are going to love it because there's all this music and
animals
and singing. For the adults, you're going to enjoy the singing, but you're also going to enjoy the story.
Yeah, the story really caught me off guard. And maybe it, I feel I resonate with it because I love Western. And so I kind of liken WCU to the Moon Theater. So a place you totally fall in love with and you want to protect and you want to save and make it better. So it is just a fascinating movie, and it is one that I think would really surprise a lot of different people.
The Moon Theater made me think of old school drive-ins.
Yes.
You know, kind of that classic drive-in to see a movie that kind of was the big hit for years and then faded out of pop culture and is starting to make a comeback in areas. And people are starting to kind of purchase those theaters and bring them back to life. I know there's one right outside of Shelby is a drive-in theater. And there's one in Virginia that has been recently repurchased, and they're going to start fixing it up. And there's a couple in Georgia. So there's some all around us here that I think that it's a phenomenon that's going to catch on again. And this movie kind of highlights that.
It also plays to productions, musicals, things like that. It's kind of what it made me think of, you know, because it starts the movie with the Matthew McConaughey's character, little boy, is at the theater with his dad, falls in love with it completely. Everything about, you know, the stage and the surroundings and being in the theater, and it's just a really cool story, and it really resonates in your heart more than you think it would when you see a preview for it. The previews definitely undersell. You know, we live in an age where the previews, Patrick, give the whole plot of the movie away.
Which is why I never watched the previews.
Which is why you never watched the previews. But this movie, if anything, is undersold if you just see a preview of it.
I think one of the other things that this movie does really well is it kind of pokes fun a little bit at the reality competitions.
Absolutely.
In terms of American Idol, The Voice, America's Got Talent, mm-hmm. all these different shows that people are trying to win money. And, you know, if you're only in it for the money, then you're kind of missing the point of the shows in some cases. And right. this movie kind of highlights that, and that it's more than the money, it's bringing the community together and helping everybody succeed as a whole.
Having confidence in yourself, a main theme throughout the movie. There's just a lot of really neat things you can take away from this. You have a favorite song in the movie? Because this movie is, you know, they call it Sing for a reason.
That was the thing that I think enjoyed the most about the movie is when I left the theater, I wasn't singing one song.
Mm-mm.
You know, there was not just like one song that kind of stuck in your head, like Trolls when you're singing Can't Stop the Feeling. You know, it's not like that movie where you only have one song. There's just so many songs in the movie that are all sung so well.
Yeah, I think my favorite scene in the whole movie is when Johnny the Gorilla performs Still Standing, the classic Elton John hit.
Mm-hmm.
Far and away my favorite song in the movie. There's a lot of really good stuff in there, some Lady Gaga songs, and Seth MacFarlane does his usual Frank Sinatra tribute and ode, essentially, with his character. But I
think
I loved
the Frank Sinatra one was probably a highlight, just the way that it was done with his character in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And Seth MacFarlane has a knockout. Do you think of Family Guy, American Dad, kind of inappropriate cartoon comedy, things like that? But he really has a stunning voice.
He could go on the road as a Frank Sinatra stand-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
or
no one
crooner.
Would ever know.
You know, his voice is built for the 1930s and 40s, and it is really when he gets a chance to sing and things like that. I'm always blown away that he's more than, you know, dumb Family Guy jokes or things like that.
Hey, he did it his way.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sing is definitely one that you want to check out. All three of these movies, family-friendly films. Star Wars, I guess, to a certain extent. Maybe
Star Wars
for more.
Is PG-13. Mm-hmm. Hidden Figures and Sing are both PG.
Right. But if you have kids, I think any of these three movies would be fine. But Hidden Figures and Sing, especially family-friendly. So if you're coming up for a visit, or if you have kids, or if you're a student who's babysitting on a weekend and you need a way to keep those kids entertained, then the UC Theater is definitely a good option for you.
Or if you're a student that just needs a break from homework and class and everything, these are three great take-a-break movies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's one of the things, Patrick, we hear all the time in admissions, what is there to do on campus? Well, here's just 1 month, and all three movies are phenomenal and worth seeing. So it's definitely just one of many different options students have during the weekends and when class is not in session.
Yeah, Sing will be playing again on March 31st, 7 and 10, and also April 1st, 7 and 10, $3 with the cat card, $6 for those without a cat card. And as always, popcorn and drinks are included in that cost.
Patrick, that'll about wrap up the show this week. We're looking forward to a great month of movies.
This is the first movie review that you've gotten to do. I did the last one on my own.
I love it. I love doing the movie reviews. So, and we look forward to bringing you more podcasts in the future. Don't you worry. This won't be the only show of the spring. We'll be back again very soon, and look forward to growing our podcast base and bringing you more great content coming from Western Carolina University.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting spring and heading into the summer months. Spring arrived really early in Cullowhee this year.
Mm-hmm.
Only one snow, which I'm kind of disappointed about.
Yeah, at this point, though, it can stay away now. It's springtime. So.
I mean, I could still stand for one more little snow.
You know what? It can snow after Lily's born,
there
not before.
That way she gets her first snow in the same year.
Exactly. Exactly. But we appreciate you tuning in. Again, we're going to sign off here. I look forward to talking to you again very soon. For Patrick Frazier, this is Josh Thompson. And as always, go Cats!